Well, good morning. This is Per Fograng at KBOO News and Public Affairs. And we're going to be talking about a film that is playing tonight called Reflecting Pool. It's at the Hollywood Theater, which is on Sandy around 41st. And it's one night only. And we have sort of the two people who made this movie happen. We have Yara Kupsch and Joseph Culp. Welcome to KBOO.
Thanks, Per.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I saw the movie, and it's a very interesting film. Let's see. Tell us. Start out with, so our listeners know, it's a fictional story that incorporates factual material about 9/11.
That's right.
A story about a journalist who's been asked to write an article to investigate the 9/11 event, who was sort of skeptical at first, but he changes his mind as he uncovers more information.
Well, he teams up with the father of a 9/11 victim.
Who's played by you.
Who's played by me,
mm-hmm.
Culp, and who's been living in a limbo of grief and so forth after 9/11 with no good answers, like a lot of the families of 9/11 who were affected by it. And so he's sort of turned himself into a researcher, and he finally is able to get the interest of the Russian-American journalist played by Yara Kupsch, Alex, and Alex's editor puts him on the story and says, look, this is a chance to maybe do something worthwhile and compare and contrast the 9/11 Commission report, which has been shown to be full of holes and with many omissions. So they go on this journey through New York, Washington, interviewing people and seeing another side of the story.
And I remember, it seems to me the first big issue that came up was Building Number 7.
Well, Building 7 is most likely the linchpin to understanding that 9/11 must have been prepared in advance by forces within this country. For those of you who don't remember, there were three skyscrapers which went down on September the 11th, the Twin Towers, obviously, and then at 5:20 p.m., Building 7, which was a 47-story edifice that was not hit by an airplane, had minimal damage, and had some smoke coming out of it, and then in 6.5 seconds collapsed into its own footprint. There were no firefighters inside. There were no civilians. They were all evacuated. And the fire department did not undertake any activity that would prevent fires from spreading. In no skyscraper or no building with a steel frame structure has ever collapsed due to a fire until September the 11th. And Building 7, because it suffered no or minimal damage, far less damage than any of the other structures surrounding the Twin Towers, including Deutsche Bank and WTC 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
They were all much more severely damaged. And besides the Twin Towers, of course, all the other buildings did not collapse, except for Building 7, which had the least amount of damage of all the buildings affected by the event. So we focus our attention on that quite a lot.
That's sort of an entry to the story. It gets mm-hmm. the journalist interested in saying, well, this does look pretty strange. And as I remember, on that day, I think I filed it away for quite some time, but I remember this other building going down and mm-hmm. saying, that looks strange. And I even thought, well, they must have controlled demolished that building because what? Because it had a problem or they wanted mm-hmm. it out of the way. I made some silly rationalization in my mind, but I knew what I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most Americans did, too. Problem is, you never saw that clip again.
Now, in the film, you show about, about four shots of Building 7 coming down, where I think most of us have only seen one.
Well,
one that we're sort of behind another building, mm-hmm. you can see it going straight down, and then
they
it
are available,
disappears.
Actually, those clips.
The only way you can watch Building 7 collapsing is on YouTube and Google Video right now. There's at least 7 to 10 good clips of that building coming down. We used four angles, which are recreated from original footage. We didn't have the money to acquire the original footage. We had to rebuild everything from scratch. However, these are based on actual shots shown on live television. And like Joseph said, and Building 7, the collapse of Building 7 was very quickly pulled from the airwaves and almost immediately. And whenever people discuss the issue on prime time, if they ever discuss it, they refuse to show that clip or any of the clips of the Building 7.
Even not so long ago, Dr. Stephen Jones is a physicist who did a lot of research on this issue, was on a news show. Mm-hmm. And
he's a fellow from Brigham Young University.
That's right, from Brigham Young, and he's done excellent research and confronted National Institute of Standards and Technologies about the so-called pancake theory, which they have now unofficially revoked, saying that that's off the table. They realize that doesn't work anymore.
Oh, really? What do they replace it with?
They haven't yet.
They haven't. The official report on the collapse of Building 7, which NIST promised us by December 2007, hasn't been released, primarily because they started, after failing to come up with an answer that was scientifically viable, they started exploring hypothetical blast scenarios, meaning controlled demolition. And since they started looking into controlled demolition, they stopped releasing their data to the public, and it's still pending. Mm-hmm. So the government has no official explanation of the collapse of Building 7, and now the Twin Towers is also.
But
the pancake collapse is
most
out.
Of us, it's out, and most of us have not heard that yet. It hasn't been reported, but it happens to be true, and there's a letter that they sent to Dr. Jones regarding that. But when he was on this news show that we were referring to earlier, it was on Fox News, maybe naturally, and they had agreed to show a clip of Building 7, and all throughout the interview, he kept saying, well, just show the clip, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we can't find that clip, and they finally just showed a still image of the building from an archive, file. And they wouldn't show it. And he says, well, this whole conversation is about what happened to Building 7, so I can't talk about it without you showing it. That kind of attitude towards researchers, very reputable people, is what I think everyone's been up against. And again, if you look at Building 7 and you realize it's controlled demolished, as anybody practically could look at it, have to look at the other towers.
There's been a number of architects and engineers spearheaded by Richard Gage of the Bay Area in California, who there's over 400 certified architects and engineers who are
demanding an
investigation, because they all agree that Building 7 and the Twin Towers were control demolished, and there's evidence of that, as opposed to lack of evidence of saying that the buildings came down because of jet fuel fire and airplane damage. Well, that theory is out officially already.
Are there any lawsuits that are sort of demanding these answers? Anything pending? Now, we know the what they call the Jersey Girls. They have lawsuits still pending, I guess, don't they?
They do. I mean, that's one of the points that does come up in the film, actually, is that my character, at a certain point, you understand that he has a lawsuit. And there were several, and two of which, at least we know, were thrown out of courts and were never followed through. But the Jersey Girls right now, these are the four of the widows of 9/11, who actually, it was through their efforts that the first commission even happened.
Mm-hmm.
The administration didn't want to have a commission, and they kind of shamed Congress into demanding it. And they were vastly unsatisfied with that commission report. And so now they are trying to sue, and I believe it's William Pepper, the international attorney who actually exonerated James Earl Ray and did a lot of other very good work. He's representing them now. And his hope is to get a new 9/11 investigation through the voters of New York City, which is actually happening right now.
Mm, tell us about that.
Well, we were in New York where we premiered last month, and we did a week of screenings, and at every showing, we had people there taking signatures for a petition. It's called the 9/11 Ballot Initiative. And what the intention is to get on the ballot in New York City, if they get enough signatures, to vote for a new independent investigation of 9/11, which will be made up of these, you know, terrific researchers and non-governmental people. And it will have subpoena power if it's voted in mm-hmm. by the people, and they can subpoena anyone they want. And Pepper, I think, intends to make all this alternative information a matter of record and then be able to prosecute that way. He realizes it's very hard to get a court to take it on in this country, but he's an international barrister, mm-hmm. so he can get it on in another country.
Now, how's that campaign? Is that for the November election then, or what?
I believe if they get enough signatures by the, I think they have an extension this month, possibly, and if not, it'll go to the next one. But it would be for November.
Well, now, William Pepper, he did that famous TV trial, you know, mm-hmm. before, you know, he couldn't, this is before the King family filed a lawsuit, and just getting a little sidetracked here.
Yeah.
But he staged, he put together a trial on BBC TV, and which he had actually lawyers and
right.
a judge and everything. Could he do that in this case, you think?
Or? I haven't heard it.
I don't think he wants to do a mock trial this mm-hmm. time. This is for real. This is
right.
for keeps.
Well, that's the best thing, yeah.
Yeah, well...
Well, when we saw him last, we went to a fundraiser and heard him speak about this. It seemed like his plan, if there is one, is you know to do this in stages
mm-hmm.
and get the new commission, which will be privately funded.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come out of our pockets, but there's some entrepreneurs who would like to see this happen, but they'll only do it if it's voted, you know,
right.
and official. And if it does happen, he'll use that as a stepping process towards mounting a full-on case. And again, if he tries it in, say, Spain, there's a judge there that would be happy to take it on. He can prosecute and hold people liable. And even if they never show up in that court, they're tried in absentia, I suppose. But if convicted, they can't leave this country without being arrested.
Wow.
So he says, you know, putting people in jail is not easy, but making a very loud statement about what we will accept and what we won't is mm-hmm. possible.
I see.
It's a very noble cause.
Well, I guess a crucial point in this film is that, you know, for a long time, people who are interested in 9/11, there's the let it happen people and the make it happen people. And but if these buildings are actually set up to implode like that, then that kind of really wipes out the let-it-happen theory, because it would take, well, at least a few weeks just to set up the...
Yes, well, we definitely take the latter theory much more seriously. And when I say theory, I think we should actually stop using the term conspiracy theory. There's nothing theoretical about 9/11 in terms of... a building that implodes onto itself,
mm-hmm.
Nothing theoretical about the fact that Barbara Olson did not make the cell phone call to her husband that day. That's a public record. That came out during the Zacharias Moussaoui trial, and the FBI clearly states that there was no connection made on that cell phone mm-hmm. call between Barbara Olson, who was on Flight 77 that crashed allegedly into the Pentagon. And we, you know, Ted Olson, her husband, Solicitor General, came on national television the day after 9/11, and he quoted from that phone call extensively describing what his wife had allegedly told him about how the terrorists were Middle Eastern and what they looked mm-hmm. like, what they had in their hands. So he, based on that, that propelled the propaganda machine, which in turn helped to shape, craft, and pass the Patriot Act and got us into Afghanistan and Iraq eventually. And we know now from the FBI itself that phone call between Barbara Olson and Ted Olson never took place. And there's nothing theoretical about that. So there's every issue we talk about. We don't talk about this in this film because these facts were only made public recently. But for every issue we We did bring up in the reflecting pool, there are 100 others that are equally important.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, which was the hardest part in creating, shaping the script for the reflecting pool, was to decide what goes in, what stays out.
Just, what would keep a story? This is a story about two men
mm-hmm.
who do an investigation and how it affects them and thereby how it affects all of us.
Right.
So we had to make sure that we tell that story as well, a human story, as well as including some very important facts about 9/11.
Well, there's a lot of 9/11 is not going away whether they want it or not. Even in today's news, you read about Osama bin Laden's driver being tried and convicted of participating in a conspiracy of 9/11. However, when you go to the FBI.gov website and you look up Osama bin Laden's most wanted poster, you see that among several crimes he's wanted for, there is no mention of 9/11. The FBI does not mention 9/11 as one of Osama bin Laden's crimes. So you confront the FBI and their official stance on this is that, I quote, the FBI has no hard evidence connecting Osama bin Laden with the events of 9/11, end quote. That's from the FBI. So why are we trying his chauffeur for a crime that his boss did not commit?
And that he became the poster child of 9/11, you know, days after the attack, and mm-hmm. continued to be that.
I urge every listener who's still skeptical about issues like these that to go and to the FBI.gov website, look for themselves. If, you know, and if FBI doesn't believe that Osama bin Laden was involved in 9/11, which they are not, as of yesterday evening when I checked it last time, why are we in Afghanistan? Why are we in Iraq? Why 9/11 is being brought up as the, you know, the basis for stripping down every single Bill of Rights we've been cherishing, every single right in the Bill of Rights, and undermining the Constitution? Why our phones are being tapped if there is no external threat?
Mm-hmm. And this is so important to me about the film, is just to make people, those who aren't aware of a lot of this information, to make people curious again about 9/11. It's very dangerous to let it slide into the past the way, say, a Kennedy assassination and still be debating it 50 years later. This has affected all of us and is affecting us at this moment.
Oh, I think when you let it slide,
it's not a closed issue.
When you let it slide like that, when you sort of ignore it, I think that does something to people also.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know, I think it's like growing up in a mafia family. You know, nobody wants to know what Papa does for a living or something. But
exactly. You nailed it there.
That's very well said. It's also like the paradigm of the dysfunctional family. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have abusive parents and the kids mm-hmm. don't say anything unless they're really pressed or they go into therapy eventually and they
mm-hmm.
say, yeah, I guess my parents, you know, it's against the law to say that they were abusing me. They're not our parents. These are people that were elected. We can de-elect them. We can take them out.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the right to do that. But it's almost as if the last few years, that's all off the table. It's not, everyone's untouchable for some reason.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi takes the impeachment off the table first day in office. And, you know,
how is that possible?
It's impossible.
Maybe we should clear up with our listeners, you know, that a theory, you know, there's nothing wrong with a theory. Scientifically, a theory is a way of accounting for facts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, scientists do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have a theory that can be tested, and then you try it out, and if, you know,
well,
it succeeds
right.
or not.
Let's leave it at that, saying mm-hmm. that every theory that the government has tested doesn't hold up anymore, even by the government standards. I'm speaking specifically about the NIST research into the collapse of the Twin Towers, which they mm-hmm. rescinded,
yep.
and the collapse of Building 7, which they cannot account for, mm-hmm. or they don't want to account for since they started exploring controlled demolition possibilities.
But theoretical or not, you know, I mean, if you ask yourself, you know, we talk to a lot of audiences after the showing of the film. We do a Q&A after every time we show it. And we certainly invite everyone tonight to come to the Hollywood Theater to do that with us. But what I notice is that people have good sense. people, you know, it's almost like they've learned to distrust their good sense. But, like, seeing a building that drops like that, you know what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Many other things where you're just, these are common sense issues. I mean, when I think about, when I fly planes now, and I think about guys with box cutters overtaking four planes and hitting 75% of their targets, no pilot in the world would let these people in their cabin. I don't know where anybody got this idea. And there's a great organization, also Pilots for 9/11 Truth, I believe they're called, who are fairly outraged about the whole scenario, too, and are saying it must be investigated. It's preposterous. I mean, I just don't see how, I don't know where that leads in terms of a theory, but I know it's really hard for me, just common sense wise, to stomach that people could overtake a plane so easily. And
well, not only that, but the greatest air defense system we have in the world, basically receiving an order to stand down. I don't see any other possibility for the air defense of the United States not being able to intercept not just one, but four hijacked airplanes on one day. It goes against every single...
Well, it's just something that needs to be explained.
That's right.
And again, the government has no explanation of that. And the timelines between the timelines of communication between FAA and NORAD are changing to accommodate for gaps in communication that keep extending. They cannot even agree on what time who knew what. Now, we know for a fact that the guy, the officer responsible for NORAD that morning, was a substitute for his superior, who asked him for the first time, please sit in for me this morning. And, okay, he received an order to substitute for his superior. Why? Why that morning? Why the chief of the FAA? Was this that 9/11 was his first day on the job? Why? There's all these coincidences that add up to a much larger picture. And that's what the reflecting pole is trying to do, is to connect all these dots, which all were reported in mainstream media, not on front page, not on prime time, but you can still find them on page A14, Section Z. They're all out there. And we have also a DVD available on our website for those of you who can't make it to the show at Hollywood Theater tonight at 7 p.m. The DVD contains an audio commentary track which reveals all the sources. When you read from the very articles or news shows that contain every single tidbit of information that... it is completely verifiable. We did not make anything
up. We made
up.
Sure to use things that were verified and had been out there for some time, and to draw them together into the narrative of the story. So the DVD, which I certainly recommend getting if you can't see the film.
ReflectingPoolFilm.com.
And revealing the sources is the bonus feature there.
That was Paul Thompson's book, with Terror Timeline.
Yes.
Where you just sort of, it's just a compendium of every little thing that happened just leading up to this event.
Yeah. And it should be studied. It should be studied and investigated over and over until it becomes a matter of record.
But also, 9/11 is not an isolated incident. And it's part of a long, long history of false flag operations, of operations perpetrated by your own government onto your own people and placing the blame on the imaginary or real enemy that you want to conquer. Yeah. That's how World War II started. German soldiers dressed up, Polish convicts in Polish uniforms. They killed them. They put them around this radio station on the Polish-German border, and then they shot up their own people and blamed it on the Polish side. And the next day, World War II started. Vietnam War, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. We know that there was no attack by Vietnamese torpedo boats or anything. It was all an imaginary act. Same with the sinking of Lusitania, entry of the United States into World War I. It was a complete setup. You know, the sinking of Maine, Spanish-American War. And it goes on, and it's not an isolated incident.
I think
that's
it was one
saying.
That just came out the other day. I think Cy Hirsch had a story about Dick Cheney was floating an idea, some kind
yes.
of a false flag operation.
Yes,
actually involved shooting Americans. I don't remember the details of it.
Did you see that?
I saw that. It's Cheney was entertaining an idea that would involve a false flag operation that would give us an excuse to. It was about I believe Iranians. Mm-hmm. Dressing up American soldiers in Iranian uniforms, and then they would attack other American soldiers in force. I don't remember the specifics, but that was. Seymour Hersh wrote this article about our policies toward Iran for the New Yorker, and which is an interesting point you brought up, because that tidbit about Cheney contemplating a false flag operation against America was edited out of the New Yorker piece.
Really?
It was censored
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another example of censorship in America.
And a part of what, in the Reflecting Pool film, again, that we get to by the end of the film, is as these things draw into focus, why? Why do we go to war? What is necessary to go to war?
Who benefits?
And who benefits?
Mm-hmm.
The American people do not benefit from...
No.
From anything that's been done in the last eight years. But there's certainly...
But there are a lot of people who do.
Few corporations making a lot of money out of
Indeed.
It. Well, we got a couple of minutes. Very interesting. This film is playing tonight. Was it 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock at the Hollywood Theater.
4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard.
So I hope you all can make it out there. It's a unique film, interesting film. Yadik and I will be there for a Q&A.
And for those of you who can't make it, please go to reflectingpoolfilm.com and see if you'd like to get the DVD.
I thought there was an interesting twist at the end. I'm not going to reveal it, but it seemed to me it was very interesting. It leaves you with a big
topical.
Question. Yeah. And it's
ripped from the headlines, so to speak.
Well, that's true. It's sort of an unrelated case, but it's there. It's a very interesting.
Well, everything is related.
True.
If it's in the media, it's all related.
It's part of the theme of the film, which is discussing what the media has to do with how we get our information.
Okay, I guess it's time to end this. The film, once again, is playing tonight at the Hollywood Theater, 7 p.m. And we've been talking with Yara Kupsch and Joseph Culp, who are kind of the perpetrators of this film. They are actors in it, the writer, director, and everything.
Take full responsibility, unlike a lot of people in the administration.
Well, it's really a film worth seeing. So that is tonight at the Hollywood Theater. You can't miss it. Just drive out on Sandy Boulevard, and there it is. Lubing up at you. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you, Claire. I really appreciate it.
And now on to the next show on KABU. Stay tuned. There's always something good on KABU.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.